Father, we bless your holy name. We honor you. We pray that you speak your word to us, line upon line, precept upon precept. May we become blessed and anointed as a word comes forth in Jesus' name. Everybody say a big amen. Hallelujah. Kindly take your seat in God's presence. We want to be sharing on. Can you take the echo out, please? Glory to God. Now, God wants to bless us. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. In 3 John 2, he says, I wish above all things that you will prosper. May you prosper. And be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to have prosperity in the soul and prosperity in the body and prosperity physically, prosperity for, you know, every department of our lives. And guess what? The very first thing God said to man when he created him in Genesis 1:28, the Bible says, and God blessed them. So God's desire is for you to be blessed. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. May that become your portion. Number 3, replenish the earth. Number 4, subdue it. And number 5, have dominion. Amen. Now, for God to cause these things to take place in our lives and for us to prosper, he chose a certain man called Abraham, who is known as the father of faith, enacted a covenant with him, told him in Genesis 12:1-4, leave your father's house, go to the land that I will take you, and there I will bless you. Amen. So when he took him out, let me just show you something quick. Genesis 12:1. The Lord said to Abraham, get you out of your country. That means, and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. So you see that God blesses us in a place of revelation. Amen. And the verse number 2, he said that I will make of you a great nation. He gave him a national promise. Number 2, I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That was what? A personal promise. And number 3, I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curse thee. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. That is what? A universal blessing. So Abraham was given a universal blessing. He was given a personal blessing. And he was given a national blessing. Amen. Good. And the Bible says that those are Abraham's, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Amen. That's in Galatians 3:26-28. Look at it. Okay. So if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise? Amen. So God, now, what did Abraham do? Abraham had a covenant with God. He sacrifice his son Isaac, but specifically, Abraham, after the battle of Chedorlaomer, he met a priest of God called Melchizedek and gave him tithes of all that he had gained. Now, Melchizedek represents Christ. Is that right? And the Bible says that our priesthood is of the order of Melchizedek. According to Revelation 1:5-6, we've been made priests and kings unto God. Our priesthood is after that of Melchizedek. Now, this encounter that Abraham had with Melchizedek was before the law, because most Christians just get up and say that the tithe is passed. Yes, in terms of the Mosaic law, it's passed. But the tithe came before the law. Amen? Amen. Yeah, the tithe came before the law. It was in Moses' time that he came up with Leviticus 27, 30 and 31, that all the tithe belonged to the Lord. Is that right? Good. So there was another priesthood that was said through the law called the Aaronic priesthood. Is that right? Now, when Christ came at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, the Aaronic priesthood came to an end. And Bible says that Christ came to fulfill the law. So there's a new priesthood that was enacted. And you know, the Bible says that Christ is our high priest of our confession. So Christ set up a new priesthood, and that new priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. And guess what? Abraham gave tithes unto Melchizedek. And Melchizedek also blessed Abraham. And as I've already read from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 onwards, you realize that when Abraham gave him the tithes, Melchizedek also blessed him. So when we give the tithes, it is that Melchizedek represents Christ. So when we give tithes, we are giving it to Christ, who blesses us. Amen. So the priest of God is only a human representative of the high priest, who is Christ Jesus. I hope you are getting that. So I want you to understand the fact that the tithe is not past. Amen. And in fact, in the New Testament, we are saved by grace. So we don't even just give the tithe of just 10%, but we give graciously. So in the New Testament, we even give beyond the tithes. Amen. The first question is that, what is a tithe? So I just want to give you the tithe and then why we must give the tithe. Amen. That's what we want to concentrate on today. So we said the tithe means gathering a tenth of something to give as a gift or an offering. Amen. Now, the practice of tithing is a sacred and deeply meaningful act of worship. So tithing is a sacred and meaningful act of worship. So you actually are worshiping God with your tithing. So every time that you are tithing, it's a worship unto God. Your tithe shows reverence, adoration, acknowledgement of the magnificence and majesty of God. You see, you have nothing. Can you imagine? You just cut a cassava stick, you put it in the soil, and cassava grows. You even make a mistake and you throw tomato seeds you throw your tomato seeds from, and then down, and then you see tomato seeds growing. Tomato is growing and having a harvest. So it shows that there is a certain supernatural power that is at work. Can I have an amen? Amen. So when we give our tithe to show our reverence, that means our respect and our adoration and our acknowledgement of the majesty of God. Is that right? That God is majesty. That's why we say majesty. We worship your majesty. God is majestic. Yeah. The next thing is that it's also, so number one, it's a practice of act of worship. Number two, shows reverence, adoration, acknowledgement of the magnificence and majesty of God. Number three, it's an act of gratitude and submission to the Almighty. So when you are giving, your tithe shows that you are showing your gratitude and submission unto God. Gratitude. So submission to the Almighty God, who is all-knowing. Amen. And the sustainer of the earth. So anytime you are giving your tithe, you are saying that you are the sustainer of the earth, you are the Almighty God, and you are showing him gratitude. Someone say gratitude. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, watch it. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. The Bible says here, if you are there, say thank you, Jesus. Honor the Lord. Someone say honor the Lord. What's the meaning of the word honor? Talk to me. What's the meaning of the word honor? To show reverence, to show respect. Are you getting me? So all that I've said, I've summarized with the scripture here. Show respect. Yeah. Honor the Lord with your substance. That means that your substance that you are giving shows your honor. You see, there are things you give to somebody, and as the thing you are giving to the person, you are showing the person a certain regard, a certain acceptance, a certain respect. You know, you are according him, you know, a certain adoration, a certain acknowledgement. Is that right? Yeah. When you go and, like, and Christmas time, you go and give something to your boss or to your mom or to whatever, or birthdays or something, you are showing that, look, I acknowledge this. You have done this for me, or you are this to me. Amen. So when we give our tithes, honor the Lord with your substance. So every time you take your substance, your offering, your tithes unto the Lord, what you are showing, what you are saying is that, I acknowledge you as the King of Kings. I acknowledge you that you are my provider. I acknowledge you that you are the giver of my life, giver of life and strength and wholeness. I acknowledge you. Is that right? It's a sign of adoration. Amen. Good. So honor the Lord with yourself. So it means that honoring must always go with something. That is why when we come and we're even worshiping God, we don't put our hands in our pocket. It doesn't show respect. In our tradition, we don't talk to an elderly person with our hands in our pocket. Are you getting me? Yes. You bow, you genuflect, you know. There are things that show respect, lifting of hands. And the Bible prescribes that. So when we come to church and it is worship time, I told you that tithing is also a way of what? Worshiping the Lord. So if you are worshiping the Lord and your hands cannot be up to acknowledge who he is, are you getting me? And you cannot bow down and you will not kneel down, at least there must be a physical act that shows an inner expression of what you are giving unto God. Yeah. Somebody say, I'm worshiping from my heart. No, it's not. Yeah, you are worshiping from your heart, but there must be an outward expression of what is happening inside of you. That is why baptism is an outward expression of our faith. Can I have an amen? So honor the Lord with your substance. So when you don't give your substance unto God, you are not honoring him. So one of the ways to show your real honor, and that's why in Malachi 1:6, it says that if I'm your master, where is my honor? Look at it. Malachi, let's go back. Let's go and we'll come back. Malachi chapter 1, verse number 6. Malachi. A son honors his father. So is God your father? Then you've got to honor him. And a servant is master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? Hello? Where is my honor? And Bible says that honor the Lord with your substance. So it means that if you are to honor God, then you've got to honor God with your substance. Amen. Honor the Lord with your substance. Yeah. So if I'm your father, where is my honor? It means that fathers must be honored. Are you getting me? A son must honor his father. Anybody who says I'm a child, so that children must honor their parents. That's why your father cannot come around and you ignore him. You cannot see your pastor and ignore him. And you can talk anyhow about him and anyhow to him and pull out faces and expression. So there are things that you do, you may not have even insulted him. You may not have opened your mouth to say foolish man or whatever, foolish woman. But your attitude shows that you have dishonored the person. And our attitude, sometimes our attitude even in church, in the presence of God, shows that we are dishonoring God. And so he says that a son honors the father, a servant his master. So it means a servant must honor. So at the workplace, you must honor your boss. Believer or non-believer. So long as he's your master, unless you choose not for him to be your master, that means that go elsewhere. Amen. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Say the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? So then he will show them how they have despised him and dishonored him. So watch it. Verse 7.
You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 8. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, seeth the Lord of hosts? Have you seen it? So it means that when you are giving something to God, give the best. When you come to church and you are giving offering, prepare your offering, put it in an envelope. And when we say envelope, it doesn't mean put a small amount of money. Because some of you, the moment they give you an envelope, no, it's an opportunity to conceal and put in your two CDs. Because if you are giving outside, oh, you think I was born yesterday. The envelope that is given to you gives you the permission and the opportunity to take the lowest notes. You see, but the thing is not that what you are offering is not the envelope. It is what is inside the envelope. The envelope must be clean. And what is inside too, when you look at, you see, when you are giving something to somebody, you must look at who the person is in your life. Who is the person to you? Are you getting me? That is why when wives are to prepare food for their husband, you see that they have to do it in a very nice way. Dish the food nicely, clean it nicely. At least when we're growing up, that's how we saw our mothers treat our fathers. I hope you're getting me. Yeah. So it shows that this person, the way you give food to your husband is different from how you dish your brother's food. And even your children's food. You don't dish food for your husband the same way you dish your children's food. And the same way you dish your brother's food. And the same way you dish any other's food. So, who is this person in your life? So, if God is the most important personality in your life, and you do nice things for other people, then God's own must be a lot better. Are you here with me? Amen. Is everybody looking at me? Yeah. Are you following what I'm teaching you? Yeah. Okay. So back to the honor the Lord with your substance. So tell somebody, don't give God lame substances. Don't give him an offering. In those days, you see, they had an agrarian economy. That's agriculture economy. So they will offer their sheep, offer their goats, offer animals, offer plants and things like that. Ours is different. And you don't have to go and give an animal that has coccidiosis or is lame, is walking and then going around and then he's pulling the legs this way. No. God doesn't want us to do that. And some of us, our offerings that we give, they are lame. And the tithes. Amen? Am I sharing something with you? Glory to God. Are you being blessed? Okay. So, he says, honor the Lord with your substance. It means that you must have a substance. And with the first fruits of all your increase. You know, and I mean, the first fruit generally is the very first one that comes in from your plant that comes up and you offer unto God. But generally, for in our contemporary, it's interchangeable with your tithes. Is that right? Yeah. Whatever comes up, your first fruits. Okay. Now, I've said that tithing is an act of honor for God, an appreciation for his love and kindness towards us. Amen. It acknowledges that nothing we earn or have belongs to us except by God's provision. And it's true. There's nothing. Bible says, what do we have that we didn't receive? 2 Corinthians 4:7. So all that we have is not about achievement, but it is about what? Receiving. Amen. Yeah, it's not about it. So, tithing is an admission that without the gifts, the talents, the skills, and favor which our sovereign God gives us, no increase would have been possible for us. Amen. So every time you bring your tithe, what you are saying is that without you, I wouldn't have had this. Without you, I wouldn't have had it. Which means that if you don't bring your tithe, what you are saying is that you got everything by your own power and by your own strength. Are you getting me? Yeah. And it's not good. It's not a good thing. You know. So tithing actually is a tribute to God. Tribute to God. it is saying to him, Lord, everything I am and everything I have is because of you. And so giving to him the first and the best of your earnings is a symbolic gesture of your everything. Amen. Are you here with me? The next thing is that tithing is also a humbling reminder to yourself, to ourselves, according to Deuteronomy 8:18, that it is the Lord who gives us the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you what? Power. How do you remember him? You remember him by taking the tithe to him. Amen. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So if you have gotten any form of wealth, then it means that you are to go to him with the tithe. So your tithing is a reminder. It's a humble submission. It's to let you know that without this God, I couldn't have written. Without this God, I couldn't have lit a match. Without this God, I couldn't have walked. Without this God, I couldn't have done a lot of things. Without this God, I mean, I would have been nothing. So your tithing is a remembrance. And the Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget. Hebrews 6:10. So it means that only unrighteous people forget. So when you forget to take your tithe unto God, you are becoming unrighteous. Are you getting me? Yeah. Because you see, you are in partnership with God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are co-laborers together with God. And if you're in partnership with somebody, you don't cheat the person. That's why in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it says that God said, you know, from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from me, my ordinance, and you have not kept them. Return unto me and I'll return to you. And they said, how are we going to return to you? Why should we return to you? And then God asked them the question, the verse number 8, will a man rob God? Will a man cheat me? Some versions say, will a man cheat me? Is that right? So it's like, you know, and to, you see, when you feel cheated, when you feel cheated, it's a very bad feeling. Or when you know that somebody has cheated you. Is that right? Yeah, somebody has cheated you. You know, somebody should have brought you 20 cedis and he brought you 2 cedis. Or 5 cedis. Yeah. You know, there are people like that. Once money gets into their hands, before it gets to the owner's hands, some must stay in their hands. You know, some must stay in their hands. You know. And so, you say, will a man cheat God? We don't have to do that. Amen. Okay. And then we also give our tithe to show that he's the one who blesses the work of our hands. Deuteronomy 16:15. Okay. I'm just trying to let us know what the tithe is about. Amen. Deuteronomy 16:15. Read it with me. 7 days you shall keep a solemn feast unto the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy increase and in all the work of thy hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. Amen. Okay. Now comes up. Why should I tithe? I've talked about all those things. I'll give you the definition that the tithe is 1/10 of our increase and everything. You know. And like I said, continuing, why I should tithe. I mentioned a couple of things. The next thing is that tithing is a way of teaching us that God must be our first priority. Okay? Tithing. Today we are learning about why I should tithe. And I gave you the definition of tithing. That's giving a minimum of 10% of our increase. The tithe itself means 10%. But for New Testament, we give more than that. Deuteronomy chapter 14, 22 and 23. And then 27 to 29. Deuteronomy chapter 14, 22 to 23. You can read the New Living Translation for us. So, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. The purpose of tithing, you know. So, we tithe. So, the tithe. You see, when Abraham, who was a father of faith, worked with God, or met God, that's Melchizedek, he met Melchizedek, he gave him a tithe of all. So before he took the booty back home, he gave him the first part. Is that right? To show that he's the one who has delivered the enemy into his hand. Without God helping Abraham, Abraham couldn't have overcome those kings and would not have been able to deliver his brother. So listen to me. Every day when you go in and you come back, it's a blessing. You see, last week a friend of mine was, you know, telling me, he lives in the U.S. and was telling me that, look, he said the life in U.S. can be very dangerous. And that every day when you go out and you come back to your home, you realize that God has been with you. Because you can be shot at any time. And especially black lives. After black life, it don't matter. You know, once you are driving and you look somewhere else, somebody doesn't like you, po, he's shot. You know, whether they prosecute him or not or whatever, you are gone. You see? So if every day you go out, you sit in Trotsky, you sit in Uber, you see all kinds of things. One last 2 weeks or something, one of our sisters, somebody caught them. She sat in a taxi, and then before she could say Jack Robinson, somebody had come to sit by the side and then tied her head, removed her dress, tied her hair, they tied her legs, pushed her the back of the taxi, started beating her. You know, it only took God. Somebody, even after collecting a mobile money, whatever, from money from her bank account through her mobile money, they wanted even to kill her. I believe that it's just the fact that maybe she's connected to God in a covenantal way and some special grace came that she was not killed. You see? So every day as you go and come, you pass here, you pass there, you don't know the many things that you are escaping. So you cannot be ungrateful to God. So our tithing and our giving, that's why I say, honor the Lord with your substance. Your substance means, it's not only talking about just the tithing, but whatever has come into your hands. Amen. Honor him with your substance. Do it in the New Living Translation, and maybe good news for me. Not this one. Go to the Proverbs chapter. I feel like working the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs, they will come here. New Living. Honor the Lord with what? Your wealth. Amen. And with the best part of everything you produce. So you don't give God your bad part. The best part. That is why your tithe must be your first and best. Someone say first and best. Yeah. When you are giving shed to God, it must be first. That's why you don't give anything to a man of God or anything. It should be a nice one. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Don't go into your wardrobe and something you have not used for 20 years. And say, well, I don't think. And then some of those things don't do. You know, some of you can keep something, and then you go and then you see sometimes that's mite or there's even something. Then you go and get, even if you want to give the person, make sure that it's in a good condition. You sprayed it, you've done something that is presentable. No matter who you are giving the thing to, the thing must look presentable and honorable. Can I have an amen? When you want to give an offering to somebody, look for a good envelope. Don't look for a dirty envelope. Sometimes somebody comes and you can see a dirty envelope on your table, say it came from here. Sometimes somebody has written a letter and the letter, you go and look at it, it doesn't even look readable because the envelope, the packaging is not nice. Amen. Am I teaching you something here? Yeah. Yeah. You don't know. There are little things that open doors and also close doors. A whole door, it's hanging only on hinges. Yeah, it hangs on hinges. So you must learn how to do things right. Can I have an amen? Okay. So honor the Lord with what? Your wealth. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, so Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 23. Deuteronomy 14. It says, let's be quick, please. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed. Have you seen it? Truly tithe all the increase of your seed. That means give a tenth of your seed. That the field bringeth forth year by year. That means that whatever your work brings to you year by year, you must tithe. Give a tithe. Truly tithe. That means that people falsely tithe. So don't falsely tithe. Truly tithe. Tell somebody, truly tithe. You see, there are things that when we do, it brings blessings. So when you do this, you don't tithe necessarily to get blessed, but you tithe, and as you tithe, the automatic response is that the blessing of God will come to you. You tithe to honor God. But you see, anybody you honor, when you honor somebody, the person will honor you. Yeah. That even a church, sometimes you see some people, you say they don't honor you. So why should you honor them? It's true. When you, even dogs, when you honor your dog will honor you. Anything you honor, honor begets honor. Can I have an amen? If you want to be honored, show honor. And you'll be surprised that you'll be honored. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed, that the field bringeth forth, that the field brings forth year by year. Verse 23. And you shall set, you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of your corn, of your wine, and of your oil, and of the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks, you may, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Amen. So bringing the tithe is an indication of fearing or giving reverence to God. The fear of God here is talking about reverencing God. Tell somebody, reverence God. That's why I told you that the purpose of tithing is what? Is to teach you always to put God first in your life. The next one, number two. Returning the tithe to God helps us to remember that he is the owner of everything. So the next reason why we give tithe. Mrs., you are not writing anything. Any Mrs. at the back there? They can see me. Returning the tithe to God helps us remember that he is the owner of everything. God is the owner. So every time you are tithing, you are saying that God, you are the owner of everything. Psalm 24 verse 1. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth, somebody should continue. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Hallelujah. So if you got something in the earth, then it belongs to God. Amen. The world and all its people belong to him. That is why when you kill anybody, you have killed somebody, something, somebody that God has put on the earth. When you slander, you have slandered God's property. When you destroy, you have destroyed something from God. Even your own child doesn't belong to you. You are only a steward. Yeah. You where did you plan to manufacture egg and sperm and all those things? It came from God. And the growth of the child. So the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Amen. The fullness means the houses, the cars, the business, everything. It belongs to God. So if you are doing something and then something comes into your hand, something good comes into your hand, you must know that it belongs to God. So you must show God reverence by asking him to, by giving to him what he asks you to give to him as a minimum. And that is your tithe. So in not taking the tithe to him, you have dishonored God. You have disregarded him. And what you are saying is that this thing, cry, doesn't belong to you. That's why God says that when you don't bring the tithe, you are stolen from him because the earth is his. And he has given you a portion of it. He said, bring it. He said, I won't bring. Yeah? That tells us the third one. God is the source of all our wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who giveth thee all power. He's a source. He gives you the power to get wealth. Amen. Some of you at the back there, you are not writing anything. You are sitting like Oga Kwata Kwata. Write. It's going to help you. You know yourselves. I don't want to mention your name. Write. And then God says, we rob him of honor if we don't give our tithes and our offerings. We rob him. Is that right? He said, Malachi 3:8. Yeah? You have robbed me, all you these people. And they say, how have we robbed you? Then God said, in the tithes and what? In the offerings. So in not bringing the tithes and in the offerings, we have robbed God. We have dishonored God. Is that right? Yeah. So you have robbed him. Now robbed him of what? Robbed him of honor. Because Proverbs 3:9 says that honor the Lord. So with your substance. So if you don't bring the substance, you have dishonored him. Are you getting me? Are you here in the church or you are going home? Or you don't like what you are hearing? Anyway, once you are sitting here, you hear it. Number five, God owns all the money in the world. Haggai 2:8. God owns all the money in the world. We are going to address some things, so let's do it quick. God owns Haggai 2. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. So that's why God doesn't. So you see, if you go and give tithes and all that, it's only honoring God. God doesn't eat dollars. Everything is his. You came to meet it and you go away. The next one, number six, we can't outgive God. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. It's a principle, just like Genesis 8:22. So long as the earth remains, seed time and what? Harvest time. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shaking together, run over, will be put into your bosom. Hallelujah. God will touch the heart. So every time, let me tell you something. The thing about giving is that the moment you give, God stirs up somebody's heart to give to you. Yeah. So giving is a cycle. You give, God touches somebody's heart or a situation to come to you. So it's a cyclical kind of situation. You give, you sow a seed, you get a harvest. You know, so you plant a seed, you get a tree. On the tree are fruits. The fruits release a seed back to you. You plant it, you are getting it, and it's going around. So your seed now becomes a tree. Your trees become a garden. Your garden will become what? A forest. And a forest. Over. Number seven, you should give in proportion to the blessing God has given you. Give according to the proportion God has blessed you. Deuteronomy 16:17. Don't give according to how everybody is giving. You should give according to the proportion. You know, one day, some people were giving in church, and a woman gave a penny, and Jesus said she has given more than all the others. She has given out of the whatever she has. Now, let's read together. Every man shall give as he is what? Able. According to, so you give what? According to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Amen. You give according to the blessing of the Lord which he has given you. So when you see others give 10 cedis, and you say, oh, me too, I'm giving 10 cedis or even 20 cedis. Your 20 cedis is too small compared to the blessing of the Lord. You know, according, so you must give according to the blessing of the Lord. That's why the tree says, instead, all the fingers are not the same. Amen. Are we learning something? Then number eight, we should give to God's work willingly. Someone say willingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 to 8. And then write 9 to 15, but we will not get in there because of time. Let's be quick. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Wow. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. See, sparingly means what? You give your spare. Yeah. With the DNA, you in the spare. As a emoise. You know, you have eaten your rice and sometimes when you eat rice, there's a little bit down there. Then, you know, like sometimes the ones you may give to your chicken, your fowls, and So he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap what? Bountifully. Look at that in New Living Translation for me, if you can. NLT. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get small crop, but the one who plants generously will get generous crop. Is that right? If you plant just a margarine tin of seed, you're going to get the corresponding harvest. And if you go and plant a whole big sack, guess what? You're going to get more. Amen. Verse 7. You must decide in your heart how much to give. So you see, that thing is a heart condition. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves what? A person who gives cheerfully. Amen. So be a cheerful giver. You know, when we say this, I know, you see, sometimes the giving that you are giving, we say, chew. It's difficult. You are looking, telling your resources and go. But nonetheless, change your attitude. And between the time that the thing is just hurting you and all those things, just give it out that you are giving it for a good cause and for the fact that you came into the world with nothing. And so what you have is because God has been gracious to you to give you what you have. And as you are giving it out, you know, as in love and in appreciation unto God, some way, somehow, He's going to bless you back. Amen. And when you read verse number 8, look at verse number 8. And God, you see, when you give, you say, and God will generously provide all you need. Amen. Have you seen it? So as you give cheerfully, God will generously provide all you need. May God generously provide all you need. Amen. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So those who don't give, you see, those who don't give, I'm strong. When you close your fist, what else can come into your hands? All you have is what is in your hands. But when you open it up, what the more will come into your hands? Am I teaching something here? Can I have an amen? Now, the question also comes up. Now, we are coming into the sensitive questions part. Amen. Do I tithe when I am in debt? Yeah. Is that a good question? Yeah. Should I tithe when I'm in debt? You know, the Bible even says that take care of your family. And Charlie, you look at your whatever that income that comes, you know, and you have to pay for this and pay for that. And God also says take care of them. So what do we do? Eh? Yeah, what do we do? It's like, do I eat my egg or my chicken? Which one do we put first? Egg. Which gives birth to which? Egg or chicken? Egg or the fowl? Okay. Now, the answer is that we should pay what we owe to God first. Because we said the tithe is what? Showing to God, I mean, putting God first. So we don't put your debt first. Amen. You don't put your debt first. You put God first. And when you put God first, God will help you to take care of your debt. Because it says that bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there will be meat in my house, and prove me now, if I not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So when you put God first in settling your debt with God, God will ensure in paying your tithes to God, God will ensure that what will come to you will take care of your debt. God supernaturally will pull you out of it because of His blessing, because of His empowerment. He will give you ideas, multiple streams of income, probably supernatural debt cancellation. Something will happen that the debt will go away. And I'll give you a scripture in Psalm 50, verse 14 to 15. So in the next few minutes, I'll be asking questions. Is that right? Questions that people try to ask about tithing. Psalm 50. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to who? To God. Is that not it? And we tell that your tithe is what? It's a way of thanking God. Show your appreciation. And make thankfulness your sacrifice. That means that make your tithe in a sacrifice. And sacrifice means what? Something that you could have kept, something that, you know, is difficult to give, but do it. And keep the vows you made to the Most High. Verse 15. Then when you have made, you have paid your vows. Is that right? When you've paid your vows and made your sacrifices of giving your tithe, then call on me when you are in trouble and I'll rescue you and you will give me glory. So those who say, I am owing, so I won't pay tithes. I won't pay the cash. You will be inside the car. That means that you keep owing and owing and owing. Because you see, you've not gone to the person and you've not satisfied the person. You've not appreciated the person who can pull you out of the debt. Yeah. And our economic system is such that you always be in debt. Because Bible says that unless you don't know the scripture, Psalm 127 verse 1, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So you must always know that God is a builder of your life. Amen. The work you are doing, it's success. Customers coming, what you are selling, clients, whatever. It's all God. It's all God. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. He said, what do we have that we have not received? 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Is it? No. What do we have that we have not received? Are you there with me? Okay, now the next question comes. What if I can't afford to pay the tithes? Malachi 3:10. God promises to richly bless us if we are faithful in the tithes and the offerings. So when you pay your tithes, God will give you a blessing that you will help you to be able to pay your tithes. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Read it. He says, who makes you differ from another? Are you here with me? Andy, are you there? Okay, read it with me. Who makes you differ from... one to everybody. Who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not what? Receive. Amen. Now, if you did indeed receive it, then why do you boast as if you had not received it? So our beauty, our monies, our cars, our whatever, our jobs and all those things. What do you see? There are people who are even more intelligent than us. And they have got better degrees than us. They've got better degrees, better whatever. And yet they don't have the job or they don't have what we have. Is that right? Some of you are blessed with houses. You have your own companies. You have your own institution. Or you are working somewhere and all those things. It's a blessing of the Lord. Oh, you didn't say amen? Yeah. Now the question is, if you borrow the tithes, what happens to it? Maybe you are there and sometimes things are tight. And so you borrow the tithe. What happens? Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 and 31. What does it say? Can you read it with me, if it's possible? Yeah. Have you seen it? So, God's business. Is that right? So, if you, God, I told you God is, last I told you God, God's a businessman. Yeah. So, usually if you take that, you know, your tithe, you got to pay. So, let's say, you're supposed to pay 100 cedis, right? And then you spend, you use the money for something. You know, when you're going to pay, you are paying how much? 20%. That's 1/5. So 1/5 times 100 is what? 20. So what you are going to pay is what? Your original tithe, which is 100 cedis, plus 20, which makes it 120 cedis. I didn't say it. It's here. Leviticus. Amen. But you see, for you, the New Testament Christian, don't be so mathematical. Some of you, every time you have taken a calculator, one day I saw somebody's tie and they have brought points, something. With, I think 0.84. Or something. So you couldn't round up that thing. 62.84. Oh. Why? That you couldn't round up that thing to 65 CDs. Or 63. Come on, 65, 60, even 70. Between 62 and 70. I hear. And you want God to be generous towards you. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Are you here with me? Is it helping somebody here? Okay. Now, so the question comes, is there a way to rectify unpaid tithes? Either if you have never tithed before, or you have not paid over a period. The question is, should I pay an additional percentage? Okay, now, I think we have already even answered it. If you have never paid tithe before, is that right? That one God winks at. Is that right? Bible says, in the days of ignorance, God winked at. But now that you know it, God will not wink. Wink means he overlooks it. Like when children are there, when kids are doing things, you wink over there. But when they get into an age of accountability, you don't wink. You beat them. And if you tell your child that if you do this, I'll beat you. When the child does, beat the child. Because they will do it to test you. So beat the child so that the child will know that, Charlie, if you do it, I'll beat you. And do your mouth, I'll beat you. And beat the child. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. Then, but if you have been paying tithes, is that right? Uh-huh. And you didn't pay. You didn't pay. Remember, we talk about the extra percentage, which Leviticus also there. Now, if you have defaulted in paying, it's up to you and your conscience. Yeah? Your conscience before God. Sometimes you can say that, Lord, this thing, I think, I beg you. I'll be paying some little percentage, adding. Are you getting me? Yeah. Because sometimes it probably may be too much, you know, the kind of person, you know, you can start. It's all, you see, but the question comes in. If you are owing electricity bill, do they sweep it away? Water bill, do they sweep it away? You pay. So if you can give to Caesar what is Caesar's, then you must give to God what is God's. Yeah, you must give. So as much as, you see, the thing is that the greater the person, the greater a person you are owing, the greater your situation. So if God is the one who can help you a lot, then make sure that, especially in your, when you know what is right to do. Amen? Okay. Now, the next question, which I have already answered, is it poor stewardship to pay tithes when you are unable to meet your family's needs? In other words, should we tithe during financial hardship or unemployment? And remember that in scripture, let me just give you scripture. In Genesis 8, you see that after the flood, there was scarcity of animals and food, and yet Noah offered sacrifices on the altar. So don't say because things are scarce, you are not going to produce, you are not going to give God what is there. Am I helping you? Yes. Yes, I'm trying to answer certain kinds of questions that, Charlie, God, now you understand. Nyami wore nyim dey say 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 nyami mai tight. What's he live riba? What's he dey e ko go mai no, so God, you understand. But God, you see, things have always been tight generations upon generation. This is not the first time there's been difficulty in our world. Yeah? And those of you who are a little older, you will see that somewhere in 1981, 82, 83, you know, Ghana, it was so easy to get soup and coal. When we're going to school, you have to queue. You wake up, you go and queue all night to the following day. And sometimes when it's about getting to your tent, they said, yeah, things like no soap to bath. No soap. We used to have some kind of soap. Don't touch me soap. When you use it to wash, you see the way your fingers have become made of soda, carbolic. It's a wild thing. No, nothing like milk. Then you go to the market there, you are buying provision, you are buying soap, you are buying whatever. We used to queue for kenke. You order, you go and queue for kenke, you order, and that way you go, you have to learn to be friends with the kenke seller. And then order in Toshinu. In Tishinu, the water around the kenke, that alone was a big blessing. So no matter, I share this with you so that you know that no matter the difficulty, God will pull you out. Amen. And when you read 1 Kings chapter 17, also we see the widow of Zarephath. She didn't have enough. Eh? She said, I'm left with just a little, you know, we are left with a little what? Flour and oil for me and my son to eat and die. Is that right? First Kings, yeah. Meanwhile, God had even actually instructed her that I'm sending my servant to you, that you feed him. You see, Elijah was fed by the ravens. Now, ravens are very, very selfish animals, birds. They will eat everything. And yet the selfish animals, they were the ones which God sent to go and give Elijah food to eat. These are God, he's wild. Though. So when God decides to take care of you, the very wicked person, God will still use them. He will obey. Yeah. The ravens didn't eat the bread. They were feeding him, you know, religiously, giving breakfast, lunch, dinner, including dessert. And he was by the brook Cherry drinking water. Pastor Max, he was drinking water, enjoying the water, everything, and eating the food. Then it got to a time that the brook dried out. God stopped the ravens from feeding. He could have continued. But you see, God knew the condition of the woman, that she was going to be left with her last meal to eat and to die. So she sent his servant, go there. And he said, when my servant comes, prepare him something to eat. When the man of God went, she said, I don't have anything. Left with the last meal to eat and die. But the man of God said that, you prepare me a little cake first. Put God first. The God who instructed you, put him first. Put him first. Put him first. Put him first. That's why you've got to put God first in everything. Put him first in church. Put him first in your business. Put him first in your family. Put him first. That's about the first. Yeah. And when he put him, when she obeyed the word of the Lord through the mouth of Elijah, she didn't die. She had more than enough to eat. She was sustained. But she gave in the time of scarcity. I'm only trying to just answer some questions. She gave in the time of what? Scarcity. So in your scarce moments, that is not the time to hide it. Anthony, do you hear that? Did you hear me? Your scarce moment is not the time that this time I don't have money, I don't have water. Your scarce moment is the time when you have to sow. So that you come out. You sow it to come out. You sow to come out. Let me give you another one. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Bible says, and Isaac sowed in the land. Start from 10. There was a famine, you know. Okay, let's look at 11. There was a famine. The Bible says, when you start from the verse number 1, it said there was a famine in the days of Abraham. Verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Have you seen it? So even in the days of Abraham, there was what? A famine. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Just like there was a famine in Ghana, somewhere in the 70s into the early 80s, where Ghanaians went to Nigeria, Agege. All we knew was Agege. Is that right? Yeah. So everything, it goes and comes. It goes and comes. It's like even fashion. These days you see some people are trying to wear big bell bottom and all those things. It has been there before. Then the pointed one, we call it tunabu. We've worn it before. You know, all the dressings, we say the short something, it has been there before. And then we used to have a certain minister in the Achampos regime in the 70s. He's called Benasco. He was a military man, Kenneth Benasco. Then so when you wear something short, then they will tell you, the police, military people put something on the floor and say, pick it like this. And when you pick it and then you are something showing, then you are whipped. No, nobody will tell you to wear long dress again. You don't know. Yeah, I'm giving you a little history. Amen. Yeah. We call it Benasco. He used to have a lot of mustache. Very wild. Kenneth Benasco is from Cape Coast. Very wild guy. Yeah. Are you learning something? Look at the scripture that I mentioned. Okay. So there was a famine in that day. Is that right? And the Lord told him, the verse 2. The Lord appeared to him, said, don't go to Egypt, but live in the land which I tell you of. See, a lot of times, when you are in a place and there are even difficulties, you want to run away somewhere. Sometimes even as you are in the church, and maybe everything is not the way you want in the church, I've heard that something is happening somewhere, let me run. No. Wait. Our season of harvest will come. When you are doing your business, sometimes you are doing that business, that particular business may be suffering for a while, but next time it will become the best business. Amen. So press on it. Amen. Yeah, maybe your parents may for now are not being able to do some things for you, but wait, next time you see that they'll be the richest folks in town. Yeah. Your business is going to turn around for good. So the Lord said, don't do it. Amen. Okay. And then he said, dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. Hallelujah. Okay. Then jump to the verse number 12. So, Bible says that in the days of Isaac sowed in the land. There was also a famine. Is that right? There was a famine in the land beside the first famine. And when there was a famine, what happened? Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And verse 13, the Bible says that the man began to prosper. That shall be your portion. As you sow, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Verse 14. For he had possessions of what? Flocks, and of possessions of herds, and of a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. God will bless you out that people envy you. Amen. Possession of flocks, cattle, everything. That means like articulators and tractors. That shall be your portion. Are you learning something here? Is it helping you? So I'm trying to answer the fact that in time of famine, in time of difficulty, don't run away. Amen. Don't run away, but just make sure that you are still obeying the principles of the tithing, and God is going to bless you. Tell somebody, God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to ask one particular question. Maybe that's why we'll probably end today. Okay.
maybe two. What are we to pay the tithe on? Do we pay the tithe on our gross or on our net? Is that right? Uh-huh. Do you pay the tithe on the gross or on the net? Do you pay the tithe on the salary, the dividends, interest, gifts? So let's look at that quickly. Now, we are to pay tithe on our earnings. Amen. And the earnings could come in the form of your salary, a bonus, royalty, or something. Now, in scripture, we are to give God first before giving to anyone else. Somebody say, God first. So the moment you get your money, don't even give to your wife first. Hello? You don't give to your wife first. Your wife came to meet God. Your children came to meet God. Your parents came to meet God. It must be God first, the sustainer of your life. Somebody say, God first.
Say it again.
For the last time.
God.
Yeah. So, that would mean that you premise your tithe on the gross of your income. Is that right? Yeah. You must pay God. So let's say you are paid 100 cedis. If there's, and you are supposed to pay tithe on your income, yeah, your salary, yeah, your salary is 100 cedis. That's your income. But it doesn't mean that every one of them is coming to your pocket. So that income, if God is first, and God is the, the demand is what? 10% minimum. Is that right? That means that God's own must go to him first before your social security. It must be God first before Caesar. God before Caesar. Bible says, give to God. That's why Jesus said, give to God what is God. No, but scripture says, give to the Lord what is the Lord's, and give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So you must give God's own first before you give Caesar. Caesar is a state. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Before you, so you give God first from the gross, and then before they are taking your tax, your social security, your endowment fund, your car you have gone to borrow, the car you are sitting in, your rent something, or maybe you went to buy a house that they are deducting you. You don't pay for all those things before, then you have not put God first. So you pay the tithe on the gross and not on the net, according to scripture. If the tithe is the first. Amen. So when we truly accept that God is the source of our blessing, then nothing we give him will seem too big. Hallelujah. So with that understanding, we move from calculating percentages to joyfully worshiping the Lord with all that he has given to us. Can I have an amen? Are we okay? Okay. Then maybe let's answer this other question. Why are some people still poor, though they diligently give tithes and offerings? Some people get up and say, I've been paying my tithes and things, but I have not been seeing the breakthrough. Is that not it? Yeah. So let's look at that, maybe just to end for today. Amen. Am I helping you? Next time we'll talk about, whether to, if we have companies, and whether we are to pay tithes for our company. And when you pay tithe for your company, should you as an individual pay your own tithe as well? Amen? But I think this one, not all of us have got companies, so let me answer this question. Do we tithe
Why are some people still poor though they diligently give tithes and offerings? Now, do you know that in Genesis 4, Cain gave an offering, and the scripture says the Lord didn't respect him and his offerings. Is that right? That means that you can give in a wrongful manner. Is that right? Yeah. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry in his countenance because Cain didn't give what was required of him. He was supposed to give a blood offering, and he just, you know, gave Bianabiara anything. So you don't give offering anyhow. Eh? He was supposed to give, you know, a blood offering. That's, you know, an animal offering, sacrifice. And then some people say he gave some rotten tomatoes. No, that was not the idea. He didn't give in a respectful and an honorable manner. You see, when I told you that when you show respect, you'll be respected. He didn't respect God. And when you continue to show to you that he didn't respect God and that you should have done the right thing, continue the scripture for me, verse 6 and 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Are you getting me? And some scripture says sin offering is at your door. That means that there was something for him to offer. An animal for him to offer. But he didn't do it. Amen. Do a New Living Translation or some other translation. Maybe that one will come out better for you. Hallelujah. He said, you will be accepted if you do what is right. It means that the guy didn't do what was right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. It got to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Amen. So the question comes up, why are some people poor, though they diligently give? So you see that Cain was not blessed by his giving. First, we do not give our tithes and offerings simply because we want a material blessing. We give it to honor God. So he didn't honor God. We honor him to acknowledge him as the source of all that we have. And when we do that, what happens? A blessing follows. Is that not it? Proverbs chapter 3. So to answer that question, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Mommy. Hallelujah. So, giving of tithes and offerings, remember this, that they are not the only actions a person should take to improve their material well-being. Please, this is very important. You see, people think that the moment they give, then money will rain down from heaven unto them. It doesn't happen that way. Can I have an amen? Yeah. In addition to giving our tithes and our offerings, we must have a saving and investment habit. Everybody, whatever that you gain, whatever monies that come to you, you must save, you must pay your tithe at least 10%, and you must be able to save at least 10%. No matter how little your money is, you must save some. Tell somebody, save some. When we were young, we were given a saving culture. We had a box, susu box, or even milk tin. Then you cut it and you drop the money in. Yeah, teaching you that tomorrow, what you have gotten today, maybe tomorrow may not get. So think about tomorrow. Eh? There's a school in Ghana, their motto is Gin Shekin. Gin Shekin. Think about the future. That's infancy motto. Fatima School. Kwaboche. Jun Shekan. Think about the future. Amen. So you must also have savings. Amen. And we must discover and develop our talents into useful skills. So discover, is that right? And develop your talents. So whatever your talents are, discover it. So the talent Your talents you have, they are meant to bring you some income. Are you getting me? You must do it in such a way that it will yield some good dividends unto you. It will bring something unto you. God gives you talent, maybe ability to sow. Learn how to sow to the extreme. These days, some people, these are photographers, when they take pictures, some of the people, they are taking 5,000, 6,000. Decorators are taking 10,000 CDs. I have my own comment, but I won't make it here. Amen. But the truth is that I don't see why, if you are just starting your brashasi and your little money you have saved just for a program, one day's event, you go and then put there just drapings in decoration, 10,000. Then you go. I don't think you are thinking right. You see, at a certain age and at a certain level, 10,000 is not anything for some people. But for a young and up and coming person, that you are in your 20s or probably early 30s and you want to start life, you want to marry and things like that. And because you saw your friends and they have done it and you don't know even the source of it, whether somebody that's a gift or whatever, you are under pressure. And the young people of today are under pressure. Before they marry, they must have pre-wedding pictures, videos. And the pre-wedding video is costing you about 3,000. You have to travel sometimes outside the city and go to some mountain and to some valleys and to somewhere and change them with some friends and risking your lives and all kinds of things and have a train of people. Sometimes you have to buy clothing for all of them. It doesn't make any sense. And when you, the sisters, you do that, why wouldn't the brothers be running away? It doesn't make any sense for you to use your life savings for one occasion. One day, at the end of the day, pada is gone. It's gone. It's gone. Going to wear something, one makeup, 3,000. And at the end of the day, you just go and wash it off. Wash it off. Before you met the man, were you not painting your own face? Why do you have to go and wash off 3,000? I know somebody will say, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm looking at it from a certain point of view. But if you have your money, please, if you have your money, you think you are very comfortable with 3,000 and this and that, that is up to you. Amen. But I think that you can, if you are not at that level, you see, you can get to a certain level that you can go to a restaurant with your friends and go and blow 20,000 cedis, eat or some things, and it doesn't hurt you in any way at all. Someone say, at all. Yes, it doesn't hurt you at all. But for some people, if you go and spend even 500 cedis, you eat for 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So, seek God's wisdom in your career and business endeavors. Amen. Then cultivate good working habits to make you an efficient team player. Hallelujah. Remember in Malachi 3:10-12, God promises to rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Is that not it? And to bless the fruit of our field. Now, what's the devourer? The devourer is anything that takes away from your productivity and the field that you are working in. So, you need to make sure that whatever will devour, you clear it off. And then you must work. So, when you pay your tithes, you must pray for multiple streams of income, for wisdom and for insight into what to know to do. And various investment, little thing here, there. That's why Bible says in Isaiah 32:20, blessed are those who sow beside many waters or all waters. So you must sow here, do this. Can I have an amen? Amen. Uh-huh. Other than that, you can say that, oh, I gave my tithes and I am not blessed as this person. Cars will not come from heaven, rain down from heaven. Lands will not rain down from heaven. So God even gave you wisdom. Increase your intellectual ability. Go to school. Take up courses. Thank God. These days you can learn a lot of things from YouTube. You can learn a lot of things. Use the social media to learn things to upgrade yourself and make you a better person. Can I have an amen? And remember that as we continue to honor God and to walk with Him, He will order our steps. And remember, the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Amen. May God order your steps. And may God make your way beautiful. May He wash your steps with butter. Anoint your feet with fresh oil. And as you honor Him with your substance, may He cause the windows of heaven to be opened unto you and pour you out a blessing. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody say a big amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that may we not only be hearers of Your word, but doers of the word. Anoint us. Cause us that as we honor You through our giving, in tithes and in offerings and in other ways, that we shall also be blessed mightily in Jesus' name. Can I have an amen? Is it a blessing to you?